Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He will lift you up. Welcome to Deeply Rooted. This is a podcast where we discuss and delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with our Heavenly Father. Welcome to it, beloved. Yet another episode, the second one of the year of Deeply Rooted. I'm your host, Sina Zokos. And as you know, this is a Bible-based Christian podcast where we discuss everything, literally everything under the sun, everything that's laid in my heart for us to discuss, you know, and we literally try to find God's opinion, and we know where we find God's opinion in the Bible. We try to find God's opinion on everyday issues, everyday things that we go through in our daily lives. And today won't be any different. As I said in the intro, that is basically what we will be talking about today. Humbling yourself under the hand of God and seeing Him lift you up. And I'll bring all of that into context. But before we get into that, I'll just say a short prayer for us to just delve into today's topic and episode. So let's pray. Dear God, we come before you this day, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for a brand new week. We thank you, God, that you've given us another opportunity to experience your goodness in the land of the living, O God. Thank you, God, that you've given us your word to heal us, O God. You've given us your word to give us direction, O Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that you didn't leave us alone in this world, but you've given us your Holy Spirit, O Lord, to be our comforter, to be our healer, to be our helper. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which is the light on our feet and the lamp unto our path, O Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord God, for another chance at life. We thank you, Lord God, that we get the opportunity to dissect your word and understand your heart through your word, O God, and see your word come alive in our lives, O God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, that it's not just a book, O God, and papers with words to read to, but we thank you that it's life, O God. It's actual power. It carries power to transform, carries power to heal and bring understanding, O God, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord God, that our life is contained in your word. Answers to this life are contained in your word. We thank you, Lord God, and we pray as we're about to dissect your word, O God, have mercy on us, O God, as your word says that your mercies are new every morning. We pray for those mercies, O God, even at this time, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, have mercy on us, O God, give us understanding, O God, of your word, give us the wisdom, O God, to dissect this word, Lord, as you will and as you please, O God, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, speak through me, Lord, as your vessel, O Lord, be glorified, O Lord, be exalted, O God, may there be less of me and more of you, O Lord God, as I will speak based on your word, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. We pray, Lord God, and we trust and believe that we won't be the same again, and you'll give us greater understanding of your word, and we will encounter you through what's shared here today. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, thank you, Lord God. Amen. Amen and amen. So, as I said, guys, again, we will be talking about something that was revealed to me over the holidays. In fact, it's been a revelation that God has been giving me over time, you know, of something that is a principle to us followers of Christ. And that is the principle of humility. And I will base it on the scripture that I quoted right at the beginning, which is in the book of 1 Peter. And I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. I just want to read it just to lay the foundation of everything we will be talking about today. So the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 reads as follows. Just give me a second, guys. Yes, there we go. Got it. So it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So we see that in this passage, two things are present. We are given a command, which is to humble ourselves. And then there's also a promise, which is that God will exalt you in due time. But then the command has to precede the promise. It has to precede us seeing the promise. So we need to humble ourselves. And when we have humbled ourselves, we know that the word says that there's a promise attached to that, which is that we will be exalted in due time, right? So God has been revealing to me over time, and especially this past holiday season, you know, when I was at home in the Eastern Cape, every time there would be prayer time, my father would, you know, open up the scripture. It's as if God was trying to reiterate this principle into my system that it's important to humble ourselves, right? And what does humbling ourselves even mean? You know, I mean, I feel like people throw around, you know, this phrase, and it's not really understood what it is, you know, and humbling ourselves is not
really looking down on ourselves. You know, God doesn't want us to look down on ourselves. God doesn't want us to, I don't know what word to use, but he doesn't want us to have a poor view of ourselves, because we're children of God. We are royalty. We have this identity in Christ. We have authority, you know, so we are not supposed to look down upon ourselves. However, humility is not looking down upon yourself, but it's the willingness to put others and God before ourselves, you know. So it's the willingness to put others and to put God before ourselves, right? And I'll put this into context real quick, right? And Jesus is the perfect example of doing exactly that, right? Of being humble, you know, in what he accomplished through the cross, in his life when he lived here on earth. It was very, very obvious that he is someone who is very much humble, right? For example, a scripture that makes it clear that Jesus is the perfect example of this, before I get to us and how we actually implement this and, you know, the principle that God has been teaching me under this topic, I just want us to zoom in on Jesus, who is the perfect example of humility. You know, there's a scripture that I really love. It's one of my favorite scriptures, actually, that really just encompass, you know, Jesus's humility. So it's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, I believe. Let me actually make sure, guys. Yes, it is. Yes, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 reads as follows. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, right? So basically, this shows what Jesus did, right? For the joy that was set before him. This is actually one of my favorite scriptures, as I said, right? The joy that was set before him. What does that mean, right? So Jesus knew that by dying and suffering and experience all that he experienced on his way to the cross, and on the cross, all the shame, all the pain that he experienced, you know, through, you know, the crucifixion and everything that he suffered, he knew that there was a joy that was set before him, in a sense that he knew that when he finishes enduring all of that, you know, when he dies and he suffers and he's risen, he's resurrected again on the third day, he knew that by completing that work, there will be a people who will accept him as Lord and Savior. There will be a people that will be adopted into his family. There will be a people who will call upon his name and see things change in their lives. There will be people who will be able to have personal and intimate relationships with God, where there are no barriers, you know, no barriers shown by nations, nationality, no barriers shown by races, no barriers shown by anything, because of the work that Jesus has accomplished through the cross, right? So that's the joy that was set before him. So we are the joy that was set before him. So when Jesus went to the cross, he had us in mind. He had me in mind. He had you in mind. You know, he knew that one day Usnazo is going to receive Christ as her Lord and Savior as a teenager, and she's going to want to live a life that honors God. She's going to go through life and she's going to face things in life, you know, that are hard, that are traumatic. But she's going to need a helper, and that helper is the Holy Spirit. And for her to have access to the Holy Spirit, she will need to have a relationship with Christ. And she cannot have that relationship with Christ. She cannot have that relationship with God unless I go to the cross, unless I suffer. So basically, in a nutshell, that's what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 means, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, right? So because he knew that there is this joy that is set before, that is set before me, there are going to be people, you know, in future, after all of this is said and done, there are going to be people that receive the message of Christ, that receive salvation, that accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There are going to be people that are going to need me, you know, as God. And they're going to need to have an intimate relationship with me. These people are not Jewish. These people are Gentiles, you know, because there's Jewish people who, you know, are the chosen nation of God. That's a whole different topic on its own. But then there's Gentiles, which is people who are not Jewish, right? So now we have access to a personal relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God, where we have an identity in Christ, where we have, you know, authority in Christ, where we will not perish but have eternal life, right? And we have all of that only because we have Jesus, and Jesus did what he did, you know, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, you know, and now he is sitting at the right hand of God, because that's what this verse says. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, right? So even with him, the principle is the same. Remember the scripture I read it right at the beginning, right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, that humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he will exalt you, or he will lift you up, right? So that's what Jesus did. He humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. He literally accomplished what God sent him to do here on earth, right? He humbled himself to the point of death, to the point of the most embarrassing way to die. I think I mentioned in the previous episode that crucifixion in those days was the worst way to die. You know, being hung on a cross, naked on a cross, was the worst way to die in those days. It was embarrassing. It was for the worst kind of criminal. And for Jesus, who literally committed no sin and was accused for our sins, he literally took upon himself our sins and everything that we would commit as sin. And he did all of that. He humbled himself under the mighty hand of God, right? And he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And now he is seated on the right hand of God. And he wouldn't be seated on the right hand of God if he had not done all of that, right? So Jesus is our perfect example of humility, right? Jesus is the perfect example of humility. I mean, remember, guys, in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you remember the story of, the days leading, or the hours leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus, there is a prayer that Jesus made in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that showed literally that he was humble. You know, he didn't want to. He wasn't comfortable in, let me not say he didn't want to, actually. Let me just say he was not, it wasn't something that he was comfortable with, or it wasn't something he was looking forward to, because it was so painful, because it was so embarrassing, you know. And remember, when Jesus walked this earth, he walked this earth as human. You know, he was in the flesh. Yes, he was the most perfect person to walk this earth, because he was, you know, both God and both man, but he was man when he was here on earth, when he walked the earth, right? So he was literally scared, and he experienced the condition called hypovolemic shock. You know, if you can recall this passage in scripture where he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he literally started sweating blood, you know, and that is a condition called hypovolemic shock, when you're really, really anxious, when you're really, really just feeling like, you know what, I'm so anxious right now, I'm so scared right now. It's a very rare condition that happens, right? So Jesus literally experienced that to show the amount of pain he was in, the amount of anxiety he had, because he knew what was coming. He knew that he was going to be crucified, you know. So then if we can just go quickly to that scripture, it's Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, and it reads as follows. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "If it is possible, may..."